Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with No More Curse.
Bibles again to Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Revelation, the 22nd chapter, beginning at verse 1. And it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. And on either side of the river, there was the tree of life." Now, this is a vision of heaven. This is a vision of the New Jerusalem. This is a vision of how God said there were the old heaven and old earth is gone. Now there's a new heaven and a new earth. And so in the midst of the street of it, on either side was a river, and there was a tree of life, which is very important. Everybody say the tree of life. There was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree from this tree of life were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. As we said, and I want to review real quick, that this is God getting things back to how he originally intended it to be. Because when God created Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden and he gave them access to what? To the tree of life. The tree of life kept the life-giving force of God active and activated in their life. So they could not get sick. They could not die physically. They could not be detached from the life-giving spirit, the life-giving force of God, as long as they ate of the tree of life, which they were to eat from. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were to not eat from. Because in the day that they would eat of that tree, watch this, they would die or become separated from the life-giving source of God. The tree of life perpetuated the curse. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life perpetuated the blessing. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil perpetuated the curse. And God told them to stay away from. Well, why you put it there? Because you know, why did God give them a choice? Do you realize that love is a choice? Okay? I don't want my wife to be with me because there is no other man to be with. Are you following me? Well, ain't nobody else coming along, so all right. No. The fact that she chooses to be with me, despite that there are other options. Lesser options, of course. That proves love. God didn't program man to obey him. He gave man the choice to obey him. And every time we choose God over our flesh, every time we choose the word over disobedience, we are showing God, I love you. Because love always has a choice. Are y'all with me here? And so they ate of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of knowledge, and the curse was perpetuated. As a result of the curse, we see, you know, we look at in Genesis, we see what happened from Genesis 3:16 through 19. The woman has sorrow in conception, and sorrow she's going to bring forth children. There's going to be tension. There's going to be unmet emotional needs. Her desire is going to be for a husband, but there's a perversion of order of man now having to try to dominate over his wife and all those kind of things. We see family dysfunction. So we saw that the curse brought sorrow, pain, unmet needs and desires, marital discord, discontentment, control issues, all types of family dysfunction. Adam blaming Eve rather than now appreciating the help that God gave him. Cain killing Abel rather than going to his Abel and said, man, what do I have to do so God can accept my gift too? Joseph's brother being jealous of him rather than realizing, man, well, if God's going to raise you up like that, you our brothers, that means our whole family's coming up too. David's son raping his sister. Another son killing his other brother for raping his sister. Absalom trying to take the kingdom from his father David. All his family dysfunction, that's the result of the curse. Say it to me. Say, family dysfunction is result of the curse. Toil and struggle for provision. Got to come up the rough side of the mountain. I know we sang it in church. That's the curse. I don't want you coming up the rough side of the mountain. He said with sweat and toil, you're going to make a living. When you go to get the rose, you got to worry about the thorns. All that was a result of the curse. Death, spiritual and physical separation from God. Sickness and disease, all result of the curse. Separation from God, the life-giving force that will perpetuate health and wealth and provision. So when God, after man disobeyed God, he was banned from the garden, so he no longer has access to the tree of life. And so the death cycle, the curse started in man. I believe Adam lived about 700 years. That's how long it took for the life of God to get out of him, that he would die physically. Physical death only happened because of spiritual death. Separation from the life-giving force. One songwriter got it right. He's all over me and he's keeping me alive. It's in him that we live, we move, and we have our being. And so long as I got life, long as I stay connected to the life-giving force of the Spirit of God. As long as I walk in the blessing, not the curse. Now, I told you, I gave y'all a homework assignment. I told you, read Deuteronomy 28. Thank you. I can't read it all, but I want y'all to see all the curses. Deuteronomy 28, it starts listing all the curses that are in the earth, resulting from man's disobedience to God. I'm just going to highlight some of them. Some of them I'm going to highlight because I don't know what it is, but I don't want it. Look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. He said, if you don't hearken to the voice of God, verse 15 said, all these curses are going to come on you. Now, we're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Look at verse 16. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Some of y'all need to realize, moving ain't going to help you. I just need to get to a bigger city. No, you need to get the blessing of God on your life in a little country. Because you can be cursed in the city and cursed in the field. See, it's a lot of these things, it's not a matter of geography. It's a matter of us having the blessing of God on our life. Curse going to be your basket and your store. That's your checking account and your savings account. The fruit of your body goes on and on. Okay, I just highlight, so drop down to verse 22. The Lord shall smite thee with the consumption. Y'all met anybody that got the consumption? Now, I don't know exactly what I don't want to hunt your neighbor and say, I don't think I want the consumption. The consumption with a fever and with inflammation. Do y'all know what itis means? Inflammation. Hepatitis, arthritis, all the other itises, that's inflammations in the body. All that's part of the curse. Extreme burning. Get a hold of some bad stuff. David had that. The Bible said, you study it. David had burning in his loins. What do you think the loins is? Extreme burning with the sword, blasting with mildew. Verse 27. The Lord will smite you with the botch and with emeralds. And y'all have the and y'all got botches and emeralds? I think that's what you need preparation aid for, right? Those those emeralds. That's the curse. With the scab. And with the itch. Some of y'all trying to move over from somebody right now. Child, what's wrong with it? They look like they got the emeralds. Look like they got the scab and the itch. Whereof thou cannot be healed. Watch this. Drop down to verse 30. This is the curse, y'all. Look at the curse. You shall betroth the wife, marry a wife, and another man sleeping with your wife. Oh, that's in the Bible. That's the curse. Well, we separated. Separated, another man sleeping with your wife. That's what's going on. You sleep with another woman's husband. That's the curse. Watch this. You'll build a house and not dwell in it. That's the curse. That to build a house and then lose it. You shall plant a vineyard, but not get any grapes from it. I had to be verse 31. Somebody gonna take your ass from you. It's right there. Look verse 31. What's wrong with y'all? Your ox gonna be killed, slain. Thou shalt not eat it, and your ass shall be bound and taken away. What happened, child? Somebody took his ass away. It's right there in the word. What's wrong with y'all? And shall not be restored. Losing stuff and not being able to get it back. That's the curse. Being robbed. Verse 34. You shall be mad at the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. Nothing around you is making you happy. You're mad at your life. Look at your car, you're getting mad. Look at your house, you're getting mad. Look at your clothes, you're getting mad. In other words, that mad is really talking about stuff driving you crazy. That's the curse. Look at verse 38. This is not supposed to be. Thou shalt carry much seed into the field, and shall gather little therein. That's not supposed to happen. The blessing says if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, what's supposed to happen? That's the blessing. You're supposed to reap bountifully. But he's saying you're sowing bountifully, but little coming in. That's the curse. You got to take authority over that. Verse 34. You shall beget sons and daughters, but shall not enjoy them. You got children who make you miserable rather than happy. They shall go into captivity. Verse 43. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee, and you shall be brought low. What's the opposite? Instead of you being ahead, you're the tail. Instead of you being above, now you're beneath. And look at verse 44. Instead of you lending, he shall lend to you, and you shall not be able to lend to him. He shall be the head, you shall be the tail. That's not how it's supposed to work with the blessing. Look at verse 54. I mentioned about this family dysfunction. So that the man that is tender among you and belly delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his brother, Cain killing Abel, and towards the wife of his bosom, towards the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. All this family dysfunction, not liking your mother, not liking your father, parents not can't stand the kids. That's the curse. Our children should bring us joy. You all should have good times when you get together. Amen. You ought to recharge each other. you know, for years, I said, you ever get family members, especially Pastor Mark's family, get around there, you know, everybody tell the same stories over and over again. You know how you get, like, I done heard it. Yeah, remember when you was 10 and you got your bike stolen and everybody, like, how many times y'all tell this story? But it's those memories that you have together that bring you joy because you enjoy being with your family. That's the blessing of the Lord. Not family dysfunction. Drop down to verse 62. Decrease. That's the curse. You shall be left few in number. Rather than being a multitude, things are decreasing. You're left few in number. Whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you didn't obey the voice of the Lord. Now you're decreasing. You're less than where you started. Have less than where you start. That's the curse. Look at verse 66. Having a miserable life is the curse. Look at 66. Your life shall hang in doubt before thee. I don't know if I'm going to live or die. Every day you're afraid of dying. Thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have no assurance of your life. In the morning you should say, would to God it was evening. In the evening you would say, would to God it was morning. That sounds like not being able to sleep. That's like waking up in the morning, waiting for night to come. Night to come, waiting for morning to come. You're not enjoying the day. You're not resting by night. That's the curse. And the reason why I'm pointing this stuff out to you is because for a lot of us, the devil will continue to perpetuate the curse in your life if you don't take authority over it. Well, sometimes it's just like that. No, me not sleeping, that is not the blessing of God. My sleep is supposed to be sweet. All this family dysfunction with your children, I take authority over that. That I'm supposed to enjoy my children. My children supposed to enjoy me. My children supposed to rise up and call me blessed. So, read again when you get a chance. I just highlighted some of it. But all of the curse is summarized in poverty, sickness, and death. But according to Galatians 3, Jesus became a curse for us that the blessing can come on us. And all this dysfunction and all remnants of the curse can be reversed. Everybody say, the curse is reversed in my life. So how do you perpetuate that? How do you make sure that you're living under the blessing and not under the curse? First of all, you got to say it's a choice. You choose whether you're going to live under the blessing or you choose whether you're going to live under the curse. Look at Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28. Now, this I may do a little classic style, Pastor Bailey, today. Y'all know I've rushed through these scriptures now, but y'all remember some of y'all been here for years. We should take time, go line upon line, precept upon precept, flip and turn. Numbers 11, chapter starting verse 36. God says, behold, I set before you this day blessings and curses. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before thee this day blessings and what? And a curse. Which one's better? Which one's better? Okay, just want to make sure y'all with me here. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside to the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known. God said, now you got two choices. You can live under the blessing or you can live under the curse. So whether you live under the curse or live under or the blessing is based upon your decisions. Some of y'all don't realize this. You know what the purpose of education is supposed to be? Not so you can get a job and make a lot of money. The purpose of education is supposed to help you think. And there's nothing sadder than an educated fool. A person got a bunch of degrees and still continue to make bad decisions. It's the blessing of the Lord to be able to make good decisions. Okay? We're going to come right back to that. We're going to come back to Deuteronomy in a moment. But look at Psalms 112. Psalms 112 gives all the characteristics of a blessed man, talk about wealth and riches being in his house and all that. But look at this. This is what the Bible also says about a blessed person. Psalms 112 and verse 6. No, I'm sorry, verse 5. A good man, this blessed man, showeth favor. That means he blesses other people, helps other people, and lendeth. Read the next part with me. And he will guide his affairs with discretion. You know what that means? He makes good decisions. In the early days of my marriage, in the early days of my young adulthood, I was making bad decisions. I got on a quest for wisdom. Because the wisdom of God is the ability to make good decisions today that bring about a positive result tomorrow. The wisdom of God allows you to make choices that is just like you already know what the future is going to be. It pulls together the past, the present. It pulls together the past and the future and lets you make the best decisions today. The reason why I encourage y'all to read Proverbs, because Proverbs gives you wisdom for life. Wisdom for life tells you how to do your marriage, how to raise your children, what to do with your money. Study the book of Proverbs. And I got on a quest for wisdom. And Jesus says this, wisdom is known by its fruit. Wisdom is known by what it produces. Glory to God. Wisdom is known by positive results. You know a person is wise when you see what they're doing is working. Everybody say, I need the wisdom of God. And so when I get the blessing of God on my life, he helps me to make good decisions. The Holy Ghost came to further enhance the blessing of God on your life. Amen. So when you get the Holy Ghost, when we pray in tongues, we ain't just quickening and feeling something. The Bible said we're speaking wisdom. We're downloading the mind of God into our spirit, not into our minds, into our spirit. So we end up making good decisions and we didn't even know how we did it. You know, what happens, you get to a certain point of success in your life based upon how other people evaluate success, whether that's success in your marriage, success in your finance, success in a ministry. And people want to come to you and they want to sit down with me and they want me to give them step 1, 2, 3. Now, Pastor, show me how you grew this church. Now, I can give them some stuff. I'm looking at, I don't know how this happened. God just gave us the wisdom. We got people who come to our conferences. May come to SWATA conference. He's okay, I'm gonna do that. And we always, you know, when in certain ministries, you know, you're always gonna have people just come and look and just want to copy. You don't need to copy, you need the wisdom of God. Because what worked here may not work there. Pastoring a church like this is different than pastoring a different kind of church. Pastor Dollar said he always thought he needed a degree in theology. He said the more black folks came to church, see, I realized I need a degree in Negroology. We some special people. You got to know how to deal with us. You need the wisdom of God. Whatever you got to do. Raising your children, you need the wisdom of God for your child. People always trying to give you wisdom for your child. Need to beat them. Like if you beat them anymore, they're going to come get you. You got to do something else. You need wisdom. God, what do I do with this child? I tried whipping. Amen. I discovered it's always easy to tell somebody to whip their child. Let me see you whip yours. See, you have nothing invested. You know, you see, well, now I would kill that child. You wouldn't kill your child. Why are you going to kill that child? That's called murder. Everybody say, I need the wisdom of God. So the blessed person guides his affairs with discretion. He has the wisdom of God. It's the ability to make good choices.
God's original intention for mankind was for man to live a blessed life with peace and prosperity. While the curse brings about confusion and discord, God's plan for salvation is to redeem his people. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains how the curse can be reversed from your life once and for all. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for No More Curse. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.